here's something we hope you'll really like.
Just like Rocky said, now here's something you'll really like. This is episode 29, and we're talking foldable graphic organizers and interactive notebooks with Linda Williams. She's been in education for 28 years. She started out teaching in elementary school, and now she teaches beginning teachers at Utah Valley University. Her specialty is how to teach science. Today's topic brings up many, many connotations, but the main one to me is engagement. I think you're really going to enjoy this show, and you're going to learn so very much. By the way, before I forget, I want to encourage you to stop by iTunes or Stitcher and leave us a star rating or some comments. That's how you get found in podcast land, is someone leaving you comments and ratings. So I'd love it if you did that. Don't forget, share us with your friends, share us with your colleagues, share us with your family members, especially at the dinner table. Hey, I'm so glad you're here. Keep joining us week to week. Have an awesome day and enjoy the show.
Welcome to the Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 podcast, bringing you ideas and resources for K-12 classrooms, schools, and school districts. Hosted by Steve Mileto. And now, here's Steve with this week's show.
Hey, it's Steve. I'm back again with Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12. And with me today is Linda Williams. Say hi, Linda.
Hi.
Well, today Linda's going to talk a little bit about foldable graphic organizers and interactive notebooks and a little bit more than that. And so, Linda, what I'd like you to do first is just start off by telling our audience who you are and what you do.
Okay. My name is Linda Williams. I'm a teacher educator. I've been in the field of education for 28 years. I began my career as an elementary school teacher, and now I teach beginning teachers at Utah Valley University. My specialty is how to teach science.
Excellent. Thank you. As a note, it was funny because actually I had several teachers that I was working with last year that were talking about interactive notebooks, and they actually were teaching me about interactive notebooks as I was trying to learn a little bit to try and figure out how to help them. I discovered your blog as I was searching, trying to find different resources to help these teachers, help them with the interactive notebooks that they were trying to do in their schools. Specifically, there's a science teacher who she was needing some help specifically in science for her high school classes, and that's how I stumbled into your blog. What I'd like you to do is just kind of talk a little bit about, you know, what interactive notebooks are and how you got involved in working with these.
Okay. I love the interactive notebooks. I used them early on in my career with elementary school students before they were even very popular. I have to give credit to the TCI Publishing Company for really defining and developing the idea of interactive notebooks as a tool. But a lot of people have contributed to what you can do in an interactive notebook. An interactive notebook is basically a notebook that is used for students to record their thoughts and ideas, and it gives them an opportunity to process information in writing. And after that basic idea, there's a lot of different ways to organize and implement interactive notebooks. It can be used at all different grade levels, from as young as kindergarten with very simple input into the notebooks, and all through high school. And my pre-service teachers who are college age love them. And so even though I use them with my adult students, they absolutely love them. So what it is basically you take a notebook and you do all kinds of things where they put input into it, like KWL charts or graphs or diagrams, foldable graphic organizers, which I'm sure we'll talk about later. But
yes.
So basically, it is a tool that students can use to make connections, revise their thinking, and deepen their understanding. It can show both content learned, like the input the teacher gives, as well as reflective knowledge, the knowledge that students gain, the output. It is great for differentiating instruction. If I have a student who has difficulty with something, I can give them a template, or I can modify their notebook easily. I had a student a couple years ago who had difficulty using his right hand for cutting, and we use a lot of cutting with the interactive notebook. So I would simply hand him the folds pre-made, and he could still record the information and put his own input into it. So it's a really easy way to differentiate the instruction. It's a great connection to the Common Core writing standards, which require us to do a lot of writing of informational text and explaining our thinking. So it's a really nice connection to the writing standards for the Common Core. It allows students to record information both visually and linguistically. So they're making a graphic representation like any graphic organizer does, but they are able to put it in both visual and linguistic terms, which really helps them to retain information. And I think the number one benefit that I see with the interactive notebooks is the pride and ownership that students feel in their work. They absolutely love the notebooks, and they feel very proud of what they've done.
I can imagine there's some incredible ones, and I've since then, and using your blog and the information and the stuff you provided through your blog and so forth, seeing more about how these happen, I've been able to ask questions to our teachers about them, and it's neat because they've been showing me some of their great stuff that they've been doing and what the kids have been doing. So you started getting into the idea of these foldable graphic organizers. How does it, with this interactive notebook, how does the teacher incorporate this into class?
Okay, so a foldable graphic organizer is basically a graphic organizer that has a little bit more dimension to it. You fold and cut the paper in a way that maybe you lift a flap and the information is underneath the flap. The benefit is, again, it allows the students to record their ideas both linguistically and pictorially. It provides some kinesthetic experience for the students in recording their information. And what this does for them, according to the brain research, is it helps them retain information because they're recording their information in both a visual and linguistic way. Now, the reason we fold the paper, and they're not all folded, but the reason we fold the graphic organizers is it just makes it more interesting, and the students like the dimension, and it saves room in the notebook because you can get a lot of information on one page with these folds. And so I generally use them frequently in the notebook since it seems to be one of the student favorites is the foldable graphic organizers. And so I use them to have students record information. It can be a pre-assessment, or it can be an assessment of their learning. It can be something formative where they're just sort of explaining, like with definitions or a model or a diagram. And so there's a lot of different ways that they can be used, but they go right in the notebook, and you can glue them right in, and that way the students have something sort of interactive to open and close and slide and pull when they show their notebook to somebody or when they review themselves.
When I publish the podcast, what I'm hoping to do is be able to get some of your pictures and put them into the podcast so they can see what you're talking about. Because they are, just as a note, I got to tell you, that's very seriously artwork. I look at some of the pictures and what happens in the end and what it's the final production, and some of it needs to be hanging on a wall. It's pretty awesome. Tell me about, if I'm a classroom teacher and I've not used this before, why should I take time to learn how to use this strategy?
Well, again, the benefits of the student engagement. They're really excited about using the notebook and creating the graphic organizers, and the retention of information is great. But another couple benefits of the interactive notebook is it creates a portfolio of their work that they've completed, and it also makes an awesome study guide. When you've completed a unit on a particular topic, like say magnets, now they have a study guide that they have self-created. It replaces teacher-made worksheets and allows them to have something more personal that they really care about. So, just for the retention process and the engagement, and And even the engagement from the teacher's side, my teachers love them. And so an enthusiastic teacher really brings enthusiasm to the classroom and,
yes.
and to the students. So that's part of it, too, is that since the teachers enjoy them, and as well as the students, I think it really aids to the learning.
Yeah, it definitely helps if the teacher is happy about using a strategy, because there's a, you know, if they're not, they're not going to do it the right way, and it actually probably should just be left out. So in doing this, is it something that the student and the teacher, they spend some class time doing, or is it just something they do outside the class?
I generally do it during class, and usually the way I work is I do a lot of hands-on science because I'm a science teacher. So we will do a hands-on science lesson, and then we will pull out the notebook and record some information in it using a foldable or using a chart or a diagram. And so I generally use the interactive notebook as a follow-up to a hands-on experience with science.
Excellent. As a classroom teacher, one of the things that they're constantly looking for is ways to create engagement and get the kids interested in what they're doing and creating those hands-on activities. And I can see how this definitely lends itself. And, you know, a little bit later, I'll be asking you about your blog and so forth and other places on the web. And once people see the pictures and the different activities that you've created, that they can definitely see how the kids could get into it.
I agree.
So tell me, and you've touched on this a little bit, because you're talking about the Common Core and so forth and the type of learning that goes on. What real impact does this have on the students' learning?
Well, I would say the big impact is on retention of information. And I was discussing this with my students just this morning, my pre-service teachers, and we were talking about how they feel like the content that they record, they remember better because they recorded it in this way. And so that's what we want. We want the concepts and the process skills to be to create new pathways in the brain so they actually remember the information, and not just rote memorization, but remembering a concept in an idea because of the way that they were able to record it. So I think that's the biggest learning benefit, besides the engagement and excitement, is that the retention of information and the connections that students make are really strong. And I also think it lends really well to the Common Core language arts and writing standards, but also the reading standards, because there's a lot we have to do with reading informational texts these days. And so the foldables and graphic organizers are a great way to take that information and break it down and organize it according to the standards, such as a standard that says find the main idea of this text. They can do that with a foldable and retain the information a little bit better.
Nice. I could definitely see that having that impact as they work on making the parts of it, putting it together and getting the information, definitely helping them with that retention. Let's talk a little bit about what advice you might have, because you can really see how this is helping with student engagement and how it would be exciting for them to be part of it. And before I go into this next part, feel free to add more if you want to, but I really see how this could be something exciting for the kids to be involved in, especially as they're learning more about what they're doing and creating the notebook with the foldable graphic organizers. Tell me a little bit about, you know, what advice you would have for a teacher who's interested in using these practices. I mean, what does it take to actually really learn and implement?
Okay, this? Well, I have a couple of tips, and they're mostly practical, but one is that I use a non-spiral composition notebook. I find that the spiral ones, the pages rip out too easy. So just on a practical note, I get composition books for the students because the spiral runs are just a little bit too weak. And then the other thing I would say is keep them in the classroom. And whether you're a self-contained classroom or you have a rotating group, you can have a tub with their composition book in it, their notebook in it, and they grab them as they walk in and they put them back when they leave, because if they're not there, it's really difficult to do this.
Right.
I have a couple of ideas. When I When I'm introducing a new concept to students, I try to use a familiar fold. Like, they've already learned to do this simple fold. So I have a new concept. So this way they're not trying to learn two new things. And if I want to teach a complicated fold, like maybe something that pops up or something more elaborate, then I use reviewing information or familiar information, maybe something we're reviewing or that we've already gone over. And this way, I don't feel like I'm giving them too many new things to think about and diluting the learning. Like any other strategy, I suggest you keep your objectives and your directions very clear. I suggest you model frequently, especially at the beginning of using a notebook, and be very specific about what you want in the notebook. In the beginning, the notebooks tend to look just like mine, but as time goes on, a teacher may be able to say, here are the concepts I want you to explain, but you have some choices in how you want to convey this information. And what this does is it allows students who are more linear by nature to make a chart or a list and convey that information, whereas the students who thrive on creativity can make a fancy fold like a pop-up or a pull-out or something like that. And generally when I get to that point with students, I'll say, okay, we just did this great science lesson, and what I want you to have in your notebook is an explanation of the Newton's three laws of motion. And so they have the information, and then they can convey it in a way that makes sense. And I may give them some suggestions or scaffold that for certain students. But in general, that's the way I do it, is in early on, I model very explicitly what I want and how to cut the fold and everything. And as we go on, I let them make some choices about what they'd like to put in the notebook and what they think is important. And another thing I do is I always have a teacher's notebook ready so I can show them with the doc camera what I'm doing. And I often cover up my own responses with a post-it note so the students don't just copy what I wrote. For example, if I said, what do you observe? I don't want them writing down my observations. I want them writing down their own. So I will have that covered up so that they are forced to actually think and create some of their own content in the notebook. So those are a few of the suggestions I have for getting started. If you're teaching really young children, I would, like kindergarten, first grade, and you wanted to do notebooks, I would keep the folds very simple, like just folding a paper in half, doing sentence frames, or matching. And if you are teaching high school, you can be much more elaborate with what you're expecting them to put in, like graphing or more elaborate information on what you expect them to have.
Gotcha. You know, one of the things that I hear you saying is modeling is very important in here, and probably repeating the modeling. Do you ever think about teach them to teach the kids how to do the modeling? So would you encourage them to have the kids model it for other kids?
Oh, sure. I think that's a great idea that they can, one child is absent one day and they need to catch up. Well, that's a great thing to say, let's get with your neighbor and see what the input was in the notebook and what you need to include in there. And maybe even demonstrating whatever the activity was, the hands-on activity along with that, to help catch up the child. So giving them a chance to model and use the notebooks and come up with their own folds and things like that. I find that the students, the elementary school students, take to this folding really well, and they come up with some really elaborate stuff themselves. So yes, I definitely think that letting them lead in some of that would be great.
Excellent. Before I move on, is there anything else you'd like to, because I'm going to take you down a little bit different road here in just a minute. Is there anything else you'd like to talk about, whether it's the notebooks or the foldable graphic organizers?
In that area, I just feel like I've said, the basics, and you need to look at some examples online and some pictures so that you get an idea of what you're doing. One of the things I hear from from teachers is it's an expense to buy these notebooks because, you know, they're anywhere from 50 cents to a dollar a piece. And so to fund your notebooks, that you have to be a little bit creative. But I use a scrap box, and we use every little piece of paper that we can until there's nothing left of it. So the reduce, reuse, recycle really helps. And I do ask for donations from parents if that's possible. And, you know, I encourage my new teachers to apply for any of those things that some of the big stores offer, where they give a gift card to teachers for supplies for their classroom and keep their receipts and all of those smart tips for teaching. I think they'll find it's well worth the small amount of expense that would be out of their pocket, because it costs money to do, you know, worksheets too, and it's just not as interesting.
Very much so. Thank you for that. Are there any other instructional strategies that you might highlight for teachers? And if so, what are some of your favorites?
Okay, well, I am a constructivist, so I really believe that students need to create their own learning. And so teachers would be best in the role of a facilitator, where they're providing a situation where students can discover something and learn. I use a lot of inquiry. My favorite inquiry method is the learning cycle, or the 5E model. The model encourages higher level thinking. And so normally what I do is a hands-on science experiment in a 5E model. And then I have the students work in a notebook or put their input or record their data within the notebook. But yeah, I really believe in lots of hands-on science, and that the students need to get excited about science and really experience it, not just read about it. They have to actually be doing science. So I like the learning cycle, which I know most teachers would be familiar with, and you know, that just really lends well to science and really works well with science. I've used some other models as well, but that's probably my favorite one.
Excellent. There's nothing worse than, and I've never understood when I've actually seen this happen, where you go into a science class or a class that lends itself to hands-on. I'm right now, I have in mind an unfortunate automotive class where the kids had to sit and listen, and they never got to use the tools, and we had to change that. It would be sad in a science class if you never got to use the tools. I mean, that's what's exciting about science, is that, you know, hopefully at some point you get to do some sort of experiment, watch something change, make something happen, and get a chance to go, ooh, wasn't that cool? So let's go ahead and let's talk a little bit about, I know you have your own store on Teachers Pay Teachers. Can you talk a little bit about what resources you have there and what teachers can find when they go there?
Okay, well, I have a few of the 5E lesson plans that I really like that I've designed and put in there. And I have some templates for foldables. Some of the foldables are complicated, and they're not something you can easily do freehand with a scissors.
And I don't mean to interrupt, but I got to tell you, when I was looking at some of the pictures as you were doing it, I'm going, I might need some special instruction on how to make that happen. So
okay, what I've put together is some templates that a teacher could print out, and then it shows them how to fold it. But the templates really help the students to fold them evenly and get the results that they're looking for. So that's what I've provided up on TPT, and some other graphic organizer sets. I have some graphic organizers that are aligned with the reading informational text standards for second, third, fourth, and fifth. I have each standard is each graphic organizer is aligned with a particular standard for reading informational text, and because again, I just think it's really good for students to record their information both visually and linguistically. It really helps them to make sense of what they're reading. So that's excellent. Another product I have on there.
Beyond that, do you have a favorite resource that you like to suggest to teachers to use in the classroom?
Well, actually, right now, the resources that I really like are all the great teacher bloggers who are out there these days. you know, when I started teaching, we didn't have the internet. That's how long I've been doing this. And so great that you can go on the internet and you can find these teacher blogs, and there are a lot of them. And you can gather ideas for classroom management or organization or teaching tips or lesson plans and printables. And all of them are provided by a teacher who has already tried it. And so they're giving you their best tips on what works. And so I really like that resource that's out there. And there are a lot of free items out there and just even tips and tricks for whatever you're trying to do that are out there on teacher blogs. So that's one of my favorite resources currently.
I got to tell you, I'm just amazed at how much is out there on the blogs. And when you look in Pinterest, all the teachers who are out there, and just being able to find those resources, because I'm with you. I wish I'd had all this stuff when I was in the classroom. It's just amazing what's out there where people have created these fantastic lessons or just support mechanisms for you. And that was not something that I spent a lot of time in the library.
We had to actually go to a place called the library like that. And yeah, we didn't have the internet. And the internet is such a great resource. There are just a lot of really great things out there. And again, like I said, I really like the teacher blogs. Right now on my blog, I've linked up with 11 other bloggers who are each providing a freebie, something free from their blog. And so if they're on my post, they can click on these other posts and get a free item, whatever it is, like one is a scarecrow lesson. They all have something to do with fall. And they can download it to their computer. So I try to hook my student teachers up with new resources, because they're heading in there and they're brand new and they have very little in the terms of resources.
Right. On Monday, we have a new teacher induction program where we'll have, right now we're up to about 33 new teachers from different school systems around us, and I'll be sharing that with them. So.
Oh, great. Oh, good.
If you had a chance to stand before an audience of 100 brand new teachers, what advice would you give them?
I do that once in a while.
I was wondering about that when I knew what you did. It's like, does this.
I would tell them to be passionate about what they teach and to engage their students. Engagement is so key into everything, into job satisfaction and to the students being successful. And I would also tell them that they do not need to invent everything themselves. And we're blessed with a lot of resources that are out there, and they need to give themselves permission to seek them out. And, you know, you just take the lesson and you tweak it and you adjust it to make it work for you. There's no reason to reinvent the wheel. And I also like to tell them that, you know, just to be caring and compassionate towards their students and keep loving what they're doing. It's a hard job to do if you don't love it.
Right.
So keep making it fun for yourself as well. Keep trying new things.
Excellent. I like that. That's great advice. Before we close, is there anything else that you would like to share?
Well, I'd like to make a plug for STEM, which is science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. Currently, as a nation, we do not have enough people entering STEM careers. We have very few women and minorities entering STEM careers, which means people aren't entering careers where they're going to, you know, be our engineers or our medical technicians or our mathematicians or our scientists. And we need to engage students in such a way that they might consider these fields. We need to also make these connections explicit. For example, if you're teaching a unit on the weather, you could end with a discussion on careers that would use that information. So I really think the STEM information is really important, and we need to explicitly make connections and help get students who might not consider that as a career into the STEM pipeline. And the way we do that is by making the STEM, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics activities really engaging. That's what's going to get them excited about entering a STEM field. So that's kind of my plug for STEM.
I like that. Thank you for doing that. That's right. We got to figure out how to make it exciting and interesting for them to want to pursue it. we got to introduce them to many of those topics, and I appreciate you sharing that. So what I'd like to do now is just ask you, you know, when you were in school, K through 12, was there a teacher who made a major impact on you or a difference? Someone who you would thank if given the chance? And if so, what would you say and why?
I had several teachers who influenced me positively. And one was my fourth grade teacher named Mr. Gruber. And he believed in me and told me I could be a success. And it changed the way I thought about myself in school. I mean, it changed my life. And so I like to tell my new teachers, this is another thing I tell new teachers, is that you may be that one person who tells a child that they can be anything they want to be. You might be the one person that believes in them, tells them that they're creative or that they're smart or that they can be a success. And that's what it's all about. I mean, if you can change that one life or head them in a direction that's positive, that's really worth it. So I would like to thank him for believing in me.
That's excellent. Thank you very much for sharing that. I like to tell a story when I'm talking about the impact that people have, and it has to do with people who believe in you or who believed in me that helped me do what I was doing from being a kid to an adult and in my adult life as well. And it's something that I think it's important to remind people that they need this. The idea that there are people there that are helping them get through whatever those rough times are by simply sometimes just believing them and telling them, you know, this is something you can do. Let's figure out how to do this. And that's often all it takes is that positive relationship between them and a teacher who's the one who believes in them. And that's awesome. I appreciate you sharing that information.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. So
I started doing this a little while ago, and I like to ask this question. I actually did a podcast on it where I pieced them together, people's comments. And it's really cool because one of the main themes that you hear is that they believed in me. They helped help me see that I can do things. They helped push me, that type of comment. And it's neat. It's exciting.
Well, and you don't know a child's background. You might be the only person that's ever said that to them. You may be the only one that's ever told them they're artistic or that they're, wow, what a good reader they are, or I like the way you just keep trying. You may be the only person that's ever said that to them, and it can be very life empowering. So
very much so, very much so. So, Linda, tell our listeners where they can find you on the web.
Okay, my blog is called Teaching Science with Linda. The URL is excellenceinteachingscience.blogspot.com. So it's kind of long, but that's what it is. I'm on Twitter. It's LYWilliams132. And I'm on TPT. The name of my store is Linda R. Williams. And I'm on Pinterest at LYWilliams. So I'm out there, and I would love for you to come by and visit my blog. And I have a lot of different blog posts, and you can access the older posts by just doing a little search that's right there on the blog. So if you want to access a particular topic or a subject, it's pretty easy to navigate.
Excellent. Thank you. And in my show notes, I'll have links to all those places on the web where they can find you. So those will be there. Linda, it's been a pleasure talking with you. I can't thank you enough for taking time. Also, one of the other links I'll have will be to the guest blog post that you did for me on my blog. And
that'd be terrific.
I appreciate you doing that as well. And I wish you the best. And thank you very much for all your information and the time that you spent with us today.
Well, thank you for having me today.
You're welcome. And have a great year. Start to the fall or ending. I'm guessing you're ending.
I'm ending my summer groups, and we're starting fall in a couple of weeks. So, yep.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much. Look forward to reading all the good stuff that's on your blog and seeing what's going on Twitter. And I wish you the best. And thank you very much.
Thank you.
Take care now.
Hello, listeners. We want to remind everyone to check out all of our digital content at teachinglearningleadingk12.com. That's teachinglearningleadingk12.com. You can also find our podcast on iTunes and Stitcher.com. Just search Teaching Learning Leading K-12 in the iTunes store or at Stitcher.com. Check back often for updates and new material.
have been listening to Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12, recorded in Eastman, Georgia, at the heart of Georgia Precinct.